join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is The Value of Faith by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Let's go to the Word of God. I believe I got a word for you today. Our theme for this conference, I'm not going to be preaching from the scripture the theme, but I do want to mention the theme. The theme for this conference is Full of Faith, based upon Acts 6:8. And when the Bible says that when the number of disciples began to multiply, they came complaining. The Jews complaining that the Greeks or those who were or the others were not getting their fair share. It looked like there was discrimination going on over who was getting waited at the tables and served the chicken first, who was getting the breasts, and then all by the time they get finished, all we got is the necks in the back. They pulled that on me the other night at Popeyes at 9:45. I knew it was best set up when we left. I think the last Wednesday we left church, I said to Pastor Mark, I said, I feel like some Popeyes. I said, but it's 9:45. Now they close at 10. So you know you ain't getting no fresh chicken. And so I looked at it. We got home. I didn't have a leg. I didn't have a wing. I didn't have a breast. I had thighs and backs. Y'all know I wanted to cuss in Jesus' name, but I didn't do it. But anyway, so they were having a problem as the food was being distributed. And so they came and brought this issue to the apostles. And the apostles said, choose ye out men who are full of the Holy Ghost so we can appoint over this business. Everybody say business. Every believer needs to be full of faith. Come on, when you look at the news, you got to be full of faith. When you look at the White House, you got to be full of faith. When you hear what's going on in Congress, you need to be full of faith, because we realize that we can't put our hope in people. We can't put our hope in systems. Ultimately, we're going to have to put our faith in God. And so I want to talk today about the value of your faith. Look at 1 Peter 1:5. I'm going to give you some of those words from five translations. Well, of course, starting with the traditional King James, 1 Peter, the first chapter and verse 7. 1 Peter 1:7. And it says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial of your faith being much more precious than gold. The New Living Translation, it says it is these trials which will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. The Amplified says, your faith may be tested. Your faith, which is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire. And then the GW translation, which stands for God's Word Translation, It says, your faith is more precious than gold. And then the Peterson translation or paraphrase, what we know as the Message Bible, says, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. So I want to talk today from the subject as we open up this conference about the value of your faith. The value of your faith. Each of these translations, starting with the traditional King James, refers to faith as being precious. Precious. Another word for that word precious means highly valuable. Something you want to cherish. Something that you want to hold on to. Something that you want to earnestly contend for and possess because your faith is valuable. The subject of this sentence, even though I've over the years I've heard people preach this without really dealing with the subject, it says the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold. People use this scripture to talk a lot about the trials. But the subject of this verse is not the trial. The subject of the verse is your faith. It says the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold. More precious than gold that perishes. It's your faith that he wants us to understand through this verse that is more valuable than gold, that even though gold is tried in the fire and it purifies, he says your faith will be tried, but at the end, your faith should stand through the trial. Are y'all listening to me? The subject of this run-on sentence is faith. Peter calls it in 2 Peter 1 and 1. He refers to it as like precious faith. He writes to those who have obtained like precious faith. Again, Peter refers to faith as being precious, as something that is valuable. And God has given to each of us the measure of faith, according to Romans 12 and 3. No such thing as you don't have faith. You just got to use what you got. We were sitting around this morning talking. I was talking to some of the other pastors, ministers around us. And I said, faith will work wherever you apply it. It's no such thing that your faith don't work for that. You just didn't work it for that. Oh, you're with me here. Faith works, period. It's like a gun. A gun will shoot wherever you point it. Come on, well, it ain't like the gun ain't going to work. We'll work on this one, ain't going to work. No, the gun's going to work wherever you shoot. And we have to use our faith and target it. See, the issue is not that we're not, it's not that the faith isn't working. Many times we don't use our faith in this context. In the context that we were just talking, in the context I was talking about people say, I need a car. They need a car, but you don't need a payment. But your assumption is that if you get a car, you got a payment. That's just because you haven't targeted your faith to a car without a payment. And we know Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your. Now, we got some folks here from the New York, New Jersey area. They don't need a car. That's true. A car is very convenient. Those buses work fine. They come regularly. The subway work. As a matter of fact, I was telling them my daughter, I begged her and convinced her not to take her car. Her car has been used. I let our guests use the car. That car be driven yesterday for the first time in 6 months. She and I keep it covered up. She even came home and didn't even use it. I guess she's gotten used to not having a car. But she kept wanting to take her car to New York. I convinced her to leave it here. Our faith is valuable to obtain wherever we target it. Are y'all with me here? Your faith is a precious commodity. As a matter of fact, it's the most precious commodity that a believer has, is your faith. I know, we need cars and we want a house. Amen. You want a boo and you want a bay. But what you need is your faith. Come on. Because if you use your faith right, you get the right boo and the right bay. Okay? Because if you don't use your faith right, you won't get a boo. You get boo-boo the fool. Boo-boo the clown. Okay? So our faith is more precious than anything, watch this, that we even desire from our faith. God's given to each of us the measure of faith. Each of us has faith. It's a matter of us recognizing the value of it. And faith, I've often taught over the years, faith is also muscle. Y'all don't see my six pack here because I got to cover it up. Y'all can't handle my six pack. It's covered. That's why I got this. It's covered. It ain't just covered by these clothes. It's covered by skin. Covered by some pounds. But down in there, deep down, there's a six pack there. Okay? I got the muscles to get a six pack. But I got to work those muscles. Got to do some crunches, which I ain't done recently. And so your faith has to be developed. Your faith has to be used. It is precious. God given to us each a measure of faith. Your faith fight is not about the object of your faith. Don't miss this point. Okay? How many of us are in or been in a faith fight? Some of y'all don't know, because here's the deal. Either in a faith fight, just got out of faith fight, or you're on your way to a faith fight. No such thing as a believer who's not having to fight the good fight of faith. Either in one, you just got out of one, or on your way one. And if you just got out, just hold on, get your breath real quick. You better recover quick, because you're going back in. Your faith fight is not about the object of your faith. Your faith fight is about your faith. Let me say that again. Your faith fight is not about the object of your faith. Your faith fight is about your faith. So we say the devil trying to take my car. The devil's airborne. He's the principality of the air. You don't even want your car most times. Okay? Some people think you devil wants your husband and devil wants your wife. Some of y'all, you ain't sure you want them. And so the devil's not trying to get your stuff. He's after your faith that you use to get the stuff, that you're using to maintain the stuff, that you're using to hold on to the stuff. So your faith fight is not about the object of your faith. Your faith fight is about your faith. And even more specifically, the devil's after the word that you base your faith on. Because faith is not faith if it's not based on the word. Faith is based upon the word. And the word comes in two forms. The logos and the rhema. The logos word, or logos word, is the word that we read. That's on your Bibles. That's on your devices. What you read. What is said in the Pauline epistles, in the Psalms, in the minor prophets, and the major prophets, in the epistles, and in the eschatological books of Revelation and Ezekiel. That's the logos word, what you read, what's in black and white. But then there's the rhema, that's the spirit word. That's the word behind the word. Some of y'all already got a rhema word sitting in here right now. That's while I even may be reading the Logos word, there's a word behind the word that makes it alive to you, and it shows you how to take that Logos and apply it to your life. So the devil's really is after the word that we based our faith on. So I know we say, devil trying to take my car, take my house, trying to take my job. No, the devil's not interested in any of that. He's interested in the word. Okay, let me show you that in the scripture. Mark the 4th chapter. Starting in verse 14, the sower soweth the word. And Jesus, now, this is the explanation. Jesus just got finished going through this parable explaining. He said, Lord, what you talking about? What you talking about, Willis? So he said, let me explain it to you. Let me break it down to you. The sower soweth the word. Verse 15, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they heard it, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the what? The word that was sown in their hearts. So when you get the word, now the devil wants to get the word, take the word before it ever germinates and produces in your life. How does he try to steal the word? He goes on to say, verse 16, because these are those sown by on stony ground who, when they heard it, immediately they received it with gladness. Okay? Now, see, we at a church now, and we got to, you know, we know how to respond to the word. You know how to, there's a time to shout, there's a time to listen. But I've been in churches, I couldn't hardly preach. I say, turn to the scripture. Amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I say, let's turn to the, but yes! And there was, really, I've been in church where I said, I need y'all to, like, calm down. I need to say something before you shout. Okay. They said these are the people who they can receive the word gladly, but they have no root. Just because you jump and shout don't mean you have root. Come on, because a lot. Come on, now, I mean, y'all know it says. Yeah, I wish I had an organ to see I could really prove it. It's just some sounds that just sound churchy. When you hear the sound, it just make you go. Ain't nothing going on. You just hear that. Just make you feel churchy, you know. And some people just. I mean, you know, they got this. You know, they I don't mean no harm. These musicians, they cheat today. Because they got the they, what do you call those things? They got the beats. Yeah. Now come on, back in the day we made our own beat. We had a real drum. Not this is a fake drummer, you know. But you know what I'm saying, we had a drummer and we clapped and we used our feet. Now they got that. As soon as you hear that, you're like. Don't have to be anointed, just to be. These are whole, some people like, they get excited, they're glad they hear the word, but they don't have any root. Come on, can you shout without the beat? Can you praise when there is no churchy sound going on? That's the proof of your faith. Verse 17, they have no root in themselves, so they endure for a time. I mean, I've watched it over years in church. Been in church most of my life. And as a pastor now for 23 years, I've seen people come in and get excited. They're so excited, so excited, so excited. They have no root. What's the proof that you have no root? Verse 17, affliction comes. Persecution comes. Why? For the word's sake. The trouble you're going through is about your faith. It comes for the word's sake. And these are they which are sown among thorns. They hear the word, but the cares of the world. That's why they can't come to church, because they work three jobs. The cares of the world. They in debt, they got to get out. And even though we tell them God's a debt-canceling God, and God can work supernatural things, they don't believe that. They think they got to work themselves to a frazzle. They think they got to toil, because they don't really believe in the supernatural power of God. They don't believe that the tithe can cause windows to open up over your life, that you don't have to have room enough to receive. They don't really believe that the tithe can cause an acceleration on your life. They don't really believe that as a result of you being a giver, God will open up favor in your life and raise up somebody somewhere, use their power, their ability, their influence to help you. So they try to do themselves. The cares of the life keep them from ever really applying the word. But then verse 20 says, these are they which are sown on good ground. They hear it and then they receive it. Now watch it. Now based upon how much word you receive and apply, it's going to bring forth fruit. But you determine whether it's going to bring forth 30-fold, 60, or 100. Because the word is good. The word is always good. The word is potent. The word can produce. It's not that some word it will bring forth 30 and what some word bring forth 60. No. That's you. It's how much word you receive and apply faith to it that will determine whether it's going to produce 30, 60, and 100-fold. We used to pray with the offering, Lord, let it bring forth 30, 60, 100-fold. I said, that devil's a lie. I want 100-fold all the time. So wherever the word of faith, wherever faith in the word is maintained and sustained, it will bring forth fruit and produce harvest. So your faith is valuable. Tell somebody around you, your faith is valuable. We know the story of Job. Job is not a great story to get doctrine from, but we can get principles from it. Don't go around quoting Job as doctrine. No, a lot of stuff in Job, it was truly stated. It was just one statement of truth. You saying the Bible lies? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying Job was expressing his feelings. From his perspective. Amen. Job didn't understand spiritual warfare. He thought all that stuff was happening here. He thought God was doing it. And when you don't know, understand spiritual things, you'll blame God for everything. But in Job, the first chapter, after even before he's tried, The devil, Satan, says to the Lord, verse 9, he said, does Job fear you for nothing? He said, does he just worship you and praise you and maintain his faith for nothing? Or are you doing something for him? He said, verse 10, he said, the reason why, haven't you made a hedge around him? And you put a hedge around his house. And you put a hedge or protection around everything that he has. You have blessed the work of his hands. And that's why his substance is increased. And Satan says to the Lord, I bet you this. Take your hand away from him. And let me touch all that he had. And I bet he'll cuss you to your face. He'll curse you to your face. Because the devil didn't understand the value of Job's faith. He thought it was about the stuff. And he said, if I take the stuff, I'll make Job leave you. I'll make Job backslide. But Job's faith transcended his stuff. So even though he loses his children, loses his house, at least initially, everybody say initially. Because I know most of preachers, very, very few preachers read the whole book of Job. We like the first four chapters, real good preaching. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Neither did Job charge God foolishly in the first couple chapters. Keep reading. If you keep reading, Job start charging God foolishly. Come on. Can I tell you something? It ain't how you start your trial. It's how you go through your trial. I know God will deliver. He's going to bring me out. I ain't moved. Unemployment. God take care of me with a job, without a job. For 30 days. Jesus. About 60 days, you're panicking. 90 days, God has left you. Okay? 120, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Okay? It's not how you start your trial. Your faith helps you go through the trial. And maintain your confession. So Job says, Job 121. Job said, naked came I into the world. Naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The reason why I say he can't use this is theology. This is his perspective. We know God didn't take it away. The devil took it away, right? But he didn't have insight to this conversation that's going on in the realm of the spirit. But his theology was wrong, but his heart was right. He said, so what? I lost all of that stuff, including my children, including my house, including my substance, including my cattle, including my livestock and my employees and all my servants. He says what I say. I started with nothing. Glory to God. I came in with nothing, and I'm going to leave out with nothing. In between, God gave me everything I got. See, that's the right attitude. He didn't let his stuff affect his faith. Can I tell you, if you lose your car, hold on to your faith. Okay, I ain't going to look at nobody. If you lose your husband, lose your wife, hold on to your faith. Even if you went through some awful things with a child, even a miscarriage, hold on to your faith. So there's three primary reasons that the devil's after your faith, or why your faith is so valuable. Number one, your faith pleases God. Say that with me. Say, my faith pleases God. My son, Pastor Chan, and I, we were talking one day. We were talking about something, and he said something that has just resonated. I often meditate on. He said, Dad, I just believe God just gets glorified by us going through in faith. See, we think God gets glory by us getting manifestation. By God get glory by the fact that we believe him for a car and we finally got the car. But can I tell you, God just get glory at the fact that you believe him for the car. We think God only gets glory when the healing manifests. No, God gets glory the fact that you sick and still calls him a healer. Are y'all listening to me? Your faith glorifies God. Your faith alone pleases God before manifestations ever occur. Just you being in faith pleases God. Your faith pleases God. I've been teaching about it from Hebrews 11:6 for the last 4 or 5 weeks. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must know that he is, or he exists, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So your faith pleases God. More than what your faith produces, you staying in faith. You standing in faith. You persisting in faith pleases God. It was Abel's faith that pleased God. Hebrews 11:4 tells us by Abel, he said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. I'm teaching about this now, but I stumbled across it in doing an offering exhortation a couple weeks ago. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, we know the Bible says that in the process of time, Cain and Abel, two brothers, they both brought sacrifice before the Lord. And the Bible says that Abel brought the firstling, or the best, the first and the best. And the Bible says that Cain brought an offering. An offering. In other words, he brought God S-U-P-U-M. Something. He brought God something. But Abel brought the best. How did he do that? It tells it by faith. You're like, not catching this. See, you got to have faith to give God what you want.
Are you running on empty? Get a faith boost with the Direction for Life Conference Series, Full of Faith. You'll receive powerful messages by Bishop Herbert Bailey, Dr. Marsha Bailey, Pastor Chandler Bailey, and ministry guests, Pastor Keon Henderson, Dr. Darius Daniels, and Bishop Joseph Walker. Order this powerful series today on CD or DVD. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to writedirection.info. Order the Direction for Life Conference Series, Full of Faith. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.